I'm not your son, you fucking traitor, the scar-faced man snarled. His arms unfolded abruptly, his right hand falling to the hilt of the ugly-looking knife sheathed at his belt. Perhaps not, Hoskins said, but any man is a son of Mother Church and God, unless he chooses not to be. Like you, the scar-faced man hissed. I've chosen nothing of the sort. Hoskins met the other man's ugly, hating eyes as steadily as he could. Don't lie to me, you bastard! The scar-faced man drew a quarter inch of blade out of the sheath. I've sat in your fucking church myself. I've heard you spewing filth against Mother Church. I've seen you licking the arse of Shanwei-damned Carizians and those gutless wonders on the Regency Council. None are so blind as they who refuse to see, Hoskins quoted quietly. Don't you dare quote the writ to me! The scar-faced man's voice rose sharply, but Hoskins simply shrugged as well as he could, given how tightly bound to the chair he was. That's why it was given to us, he replied. And if you hadn't stopped up your ears and closed your eyes, exactly as Langhorne had in mind when he gave us that passage, you'd know I've never spewed a single word of filth against Mother Church. I've spoken only the truth about her enemies. The knife hissed out of its scabbard, and the scar-faced man twisted the fingers of his left hand in Hoskins' hair, yanking his head back. Keen-edged steel pressed his arched throat once more, and the other man's lips drew back in an ugly, animal-like snarl. You are her enemy, he half-whispered, eyes blazing with hatred. Every time you open your mouth, you prove it, and you drag others with you into heresy and apostasy and treason. For it will come to pass that the wise man will speak wisdom to the fool, and the fool will not recognize it. Hoskins had no idea how he managed to get the words out as he stared up into that hate-filled glare. It was part of the same passage from the Book of Langhorne he'd already cited, and for an instant he thought his captor was going to slash his throat then and there. In fact, a part of the priest hoped he would. But the scar-faced man made himself stop. He twisted the hair in his left hand hard enough to make Hoskins hiss with anguish, despite all he could do, then threw the captive's head to one side and stepped back. I told them you wouldn't have anything worthwhile to say, he said then, calmly, almost caressingly. They thought you might, but I knew. I've listened to you preach, you worthless son of a bitch. I know exactly what kind of... That's enough, Ron. Hoskins hadn't heard the door open again behind him, but now he turned his head and saw another man. This one wore the purple habit of the Order of Schuler, and a priest's cap with the brown cockade of an underpriest, and Hoskins' stomach muscles clenched as he saw him. The newcomer looked at Hoskins in silence for several seconds, then shook his head. Young Ron can be a bit impetuous, and his language is often intemperate, Father Timon, he said. Nonetheless, he does have a way of cutting to the heart of things. And deep in your own heart, I'm sure, you realize even now that everything he said is true. No, it's not, Hoskins replied, and there was an odd serenity in his voice now. You and he can shut your eyes if you choose. God gave you freedom of will. He won't stop you from exercising it, no matter how you may have perverted your own understanding of his truth. But the fact that you choose not to see the sun makes it no less bright. At least you remember the words of the Holy Writ, I see. The Schulerite's smile was thin. It's a pity you've chosen to turn your back on its meaning. I have established his holy church as he has commanded me, and I give it now into your care and the care of your fellows, chosen of God. Govern it well, and know that you are my chosen inheritors and the shepherds of God's flock in the world. Langhorn gave that charge to the vicarate, not to me, and most assuredly not to you. When you raise your voice in impious attacks on the vicarate, you attack Langhorn and God himself." "I do not," Hoskins said flatly, the words measured and cold. "In the very next verse, Langhorn said, 'See that you fail not in this charge, for an accounting shall be demanded of you, and every sheep that is lost will weigh in the balance of your stewardship.' Vicar Jaspar and his friends should have remembered that, because somehow I doubt God will forget it when their time comes to face him. I am not he to demand that accounting, but I am a priest. I, too, am a shepherd. I, too, must one day give my accounting, and I will lose none of my sheep for a grand inquisitor, so lost to corruption and ambition that he casts entire realms to fire and destruction on a whim."